Hi, church. I'm Scott Dawes. This is my wife, Alicia Dawes. We've been going to The Rock for about 10 years now. When I was 19, in basic training, I decided to give my life over to the Lord and trust Him with everything.
Yeah, and when I was 15, I went to a Christian concert and pretty much rededicated my life to Christ. And I would say, you know, if you told us that we'd be where we're at 10 years ago, we probably wouldn't believe you. In 2018, we went on our first mission trip with The Rock to Milan, Italy, with a team of 10. And we were a little nervous because it was our first mission trip overseas.
We had another opportunity to step out in faith and trust God when a friend of ours asked us to lead the Italy mission trip. And at first I was really scared because I had never done anything like this before, but we just trusted God, and Alicia encouraged me, and she said, just trust God. He's doing something with us, and He knows what He's doing.
When we led in October of 2019, we got to our sister church there in Milan, and it's called Il Rifugio. It's led by Pastor Frank Apisa and his wife Pam, and it's on campus of Bicocca University, so there's lots of students always passing by the church. And with that, there's signs out for English clubs, and the English clubs are basically free for students to come and just learn conversational English. It's about building relationships, and we play games, and it's a lot of fun. We get to show them the love of Christ.
On the mission trip, it was such an amazing experience. God really showed up in a mighty way, and He just really blessed it. We were able to have strong relationships with a lot of the students. We were able to share our stories. We were able to share the gospel with a bunch of them. A few of them got saved. We were not expecting God to show up in the way that He did. It was really, really cool to be a part of that. And I'm excited to see what God does with that in the future.
God's been amazing and faithful in our lives. And He uses us best as a husband and wife team. You know, and we've really seen and experienced firsthand the church's mission statement of sending the sanctified.
What a sweet couple. We're so thankful for Scott and Alicia and their heart for the Lord. They just really bless our church. And they did a great job on that video, too. So I appreciate them. Just welcome. My name is Steve McEnroy. I'm one of the pastors here at The Rock. And today, I'm going to finish our Win, Build, Send series. Bill and Brian both gave fantastic sermons on the win and build portion. I hope you were here. If you weren't here, I'd really encourage you to go online and watch those sermons, those teachings, if you would. This win, build, send, that's what we're all about. So this is kind of the heartbeat of our church, so we don't want you guys to miss any of these teachings. It's what we do. Our vision statement is one life at a time and one world in our lifetime. And the mission we believe that God has given us to accomplish that vision is to win the lost, build the believer, and send the sanctified. Now, most of you know that, but I know we've had a lot of new people, so we want to inform the new people too. And my hope is to fire us all up today for the send portion. Make no mistake, we understand that God wins, God builds, and God sends. And they could really go out of order. It could be send, build, win. They just all fit together. We simply want to follow what the Lord's doing. Today we'll focus on God sending the sanctified. And if you're a redeemed, born-again Christian today or watching on video, that's you. And God wants to send you into a life that's more than you ever imagined. I really believe that. We're going to talk about some things today. I don't have a clicker, so I trust one of you good brothers to help me out of that, our sister. So you can advance to this first verse here. This is our verse, and it's going to be easy for you to memorize or remember as well. John 20, 21. All right, that's our year for this year, John. That's our verse for this year, John 20, 21. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Let me just set the stage for this verse a little bit. In the verse before it, unlike our 2020, the verse before it, John 20, we see Jesus, he comes to the disciples, and they're locked in a room. They've locked themselves in the room. They're fearful for the Jewish leaders. They think that they might get crucified or they might get killed just like Jesus did. So this is a time where the crucifixion has happened, so they're scared. It says in the Bible that they scattered, but they've locked themselves in this room. They're fearful for what might happen to them. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. In verse 20, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." He just says, "Peace be with you." Then he goes on to show them his scars and the things that happened to him. And that he was really with them. He was really flesh with them once again, standing there right with them. You think of the disciples. I don't know if I put myself in their mindset. They were probably pretty nervous. I would think that Peter was probably pacing. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. He says, "Peace be with you." Really just saying, "I am with you. Peace be with you." And he, in verse 21, he says it again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." It's like a good leader, like a good friend, the one that had been teaching. These were his students. And they're scared what happened to our leader. And then there he is. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Let's go. There's much to do. I'm going to send you. Let's go ahead and do it. And just kind of bring them out of themselves. These messages, the send message, the send part, I've titled it "A World That Matters." And the world does matter to God. We know that. And we sang part of the John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whomever, I'm going to add wherever, whomever, wherever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's the God we follow. In 1999, I heard a very clear sending call from God for me and my family. It may have been harder for my wife because she followed me. But we were living in Loveland, Colorado, and God grabbed a hold of my heart, and a group of people were come to plant a church in Utah, of all places. That seemed like the other side of the world to me. But we heard that send, and my wife and my family, we've seen literally thousands of lives changed. It's been unbelievable. And we're still living that very send. We're still a part of that send. So I'm going to pray, then we'll dig in. I've got a lot of information today that I want to share with you, so we're going to go fast. Lord, I love you. Thank you that we could be together today. Lord, we rest in you. We love you because you first loved us, Father God, and I just thank you for that. I pray for these next few moments you would just calm my heart, Lord, and just speak to all of us. Lord, help us to hear from you. We don't want to hear from anybody else. And I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. So I like this quote from Charles Spurgeon. "If there be anything about which we cannot tolerate lukewarmness, it is in the matter of sending the gospel to a dying world." And I would agree with that. Today I'm going to simply ask you three questions. Here's the first question. Do you believe Jesus is sending you? If you're a Christian today, do you believe, as Jesus spoke to his disciples, if you're a disciple of Christ, do you believe that he is sending you as well? That's the question. And our signature verse, of course, is from Matthew 28, verse 19. Brian shared it, Bill shared it, and I'll share it again. "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." I like to think, go and make, as you go, as you're enjoying your Raisin Bran Crunch, as you go about your way, every single day, as you go about your life, go and make disciples of all the nations. He might be sending you to rescue your marriage. Maybe your marriage is struggling and you need to get right back in the middle of it. He may be challenging you and sending you to get more involved with your kids, to love and witness to your neighbors, to help the down and out. Or God may even send you to the very ends of the world. God could do that. That could be you. Do you believe it? I like this quote from Albert Barnes. It says, "It does not require great learning to be a Christian and be convinced of the truth of the Bible. It requires only an honest heart and a willingness to obey God." If I'm honest, I'm not always willing. Sometimes I can be like a young child that just is reluctant, just kind of whiny. The Lord puts things right in front of me. Sometimes I'm just like, I don't want to do that, Lord. And I can just kind of shrink back from what's best for me. And I think if we're honest, most of us can be like that. And that's simply the second question. Are you willing to obey? Could you be willing to obey? Maybe tonight the Lord will tug on our hearts a little bit. You know, and Psalm 51 is an incredible psalm that David writes. We witness David, who is nicknamed a man after God's own heart, repent for some horrible sin. He sinned with Bathsheba, the king. He sins with Bathsheba. Then he has Bathsheba's husband murdered. So Nathan the prophet calls out David. He calls him out on his sin. Are you so thankful you have people in your life that would call you out on something? David gets called out on his sin. Nathan the prophet says, "That's wrong. You shouldn't do that." And that's where the crux of this Psalm 51 comes from. But I want to just focus on this particular verse. "Restore in me the joy of your salvation. Make me willing to obey you." Think of David possibly having godly sorrow for the awful things. There's a repentant here. There's a turn here. "Restore in me the joy of your salvation. Make me willing to obey you." I think they can't be separated. Obedience and joy. Our joy comes from the Lord. And I think in obedience, that's where we find joy. And he says, "The joy of your salvation, it's you, God." Sometimes we often say the joy of, "It's my salvation, it's mine." The Lord did it all. "Make me willing to obey you." What a good thing to think about and roll around in our mind. There's something about having a humble heart and a good understanding of what Jesus has done for us that brings joy into our lives and spurs us on to serve Jesus. Third question, just three questions, 1, 2, 3. Will you join what God is already doing? Would you be willing to do that? You know, God has been moving since before the beginning of time, and he will continue to move on into eternity. God is faithfully at work all around us. We see it time and time again. He has much for us to do, much for us to be involved in. He knows the best thing for us is to be involved in his business. That's the best place for us. That's where we experience the full life. Apart from that, we miss out. Read Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38 with me. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I just pause there for a minute, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. This reminds me of the world we live in. They were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You and I, as followers of Jesus, we need to be men and women that pray earnestly, God, bring more laborers. Lord, maybe that would be me. Lord, I pray that you'd help me want to be a laborer, help me want to labor more, to be involved more, to give myself more into what you're doing. The harvest is ripe. God is the Lord of the harvest and is ripe, and he wants us to go and be a part of bringing that harvest in. I like this quote from Michael Yosef, a pastor and author. He says, spend time in prayer today asking for God to share his vision for your life and the work he wants you to do for him. Pray that he molds your heart into that of a willing servant. I would just agree with that. That's just a good idea. With much prayer and seeking the Lord, we look to what God is already doing and around us and join him in it. Just look for God's hand. Just look in your own world, in your own sphere, and look to what God is doing and then joining in it. Are you ready to say, Jesus, I'm willing. Please send me. You know, my grandson Abel, we were at a reception a couple weeks ago. Many of you were there with us too. We're at a wedding reception, and the bride and groom were dancing. They had practiced a specific dance, and it was beautiful. And even the bridal party had practiced a dance, and they all danced together. There's a lot of people on the dance floor. And I was sitting at the table. I'm not really a dancer, you know, and I was sitting there kind of observing, and I noticed all the kids, some of my grad kids and some of the other kids I know, they were all lined up, and they were just focused on the dance. They were just watching them. I mean, they couldn't even take their eyes off of it. I was kind of trying to joke with them, and they were just fixated with the dance that was going on before them. And believe me, I've witnessed my tender-hearted grandson Abel dance at 8 years old in his living room. There's nothing holding him back. But this particular time, he was just shying way back. And his mother grabbed his hands, you know, and pulled him up on his chair. Come dance with me. Come on, come on. And he's just shrunk back into his chair. And I asked him if I could share this. Yeah, Grandpa, that'd be fine if you share this story. And then his dad came up and grabbed him by the hands and pulled him out of his chair, trying to get him to dance. And he's just shrunk back into his chair. And my wife Jeannie and I, we both encouraged him, come on, Abel, we know you love to dance. Get out there and enjoy yourself. And his dad kept picking him up and pulling him up, and he just shrunk back into the chair. And at one point, I was sitting there, I saw a tear well up in his eye as his dad was trying to get him to dance. I don't remember if I said it out loud or not, but I thought in my mind, at least, to Caleb, he just doesn't want to dance. Leave him alone, you know? I get it. That's me. But like a good father, Caleb kept egging him on, and I went to get some dessert or something. And then when I came back a little further, there he was out on the dance floor doing the robot. He was like, and he must have done it for like an hour. He danced more than anybody. He just had the time of his life. Sometimes I can be like that. I miss out on God's best for me. And for some reason, I can just find myself shrinking back. Our three questions are, do you believe Jesus is sending you? Are you willing to obey? Will you join what God is already doing? Here are some opportunities. I've written down some things, and I'm going to read pretty quick through here because I don't want to get off task. I'm very passionate about this stuff. So if I didn't have some bumpers here, I would just go off. Because God's at work in our midst, and I don't want any of you to miss it. I want all of us to get to be a part of this dance, if you will. The Holy Spirit is moving in our midst and through a lot of our people and through a lot of people that we know. So I'm excited about it. You've heard of our Rocks Cares before. And sometimes that can seem kind of ethereal. You can think, oh yeah, we have this Cares ministry. That's cool. That helps people. You know, and newer folks, you may not even know what that is. And some of you that have even been here for a while, you go, oh, yeah, I know what that is, but No, not really. So I'm just going to touch base. There's 16 things, 16 ministries that we partner with in our CARES ministry. So I'm just going to highlight them. The Rock CARES includes compassion and outreach ministries in which members of the Rock are currently involved. These people act like liaisons between our church and the ministry or agency that they love. Kind of like a liaison. So they bring to the church different needs, different things are going on. Or if we have an opportunity to promote their ministry, we take advantage of that and try to get the church involved, because that's what the church does. We rise and be a part of that. So I'm just going to walk you through some of these. What you do, if you went to our website, you'd come up, there'd be a CARES button, and you'd click it, and it'd be these four categories. And I'm just going to run through them real quick with you. Our foster adopt orphans, the Care Portal is an online platform that brings the needs of hurting children and families in your community to your attention. Utah caseworkers uncover the needs, vet the needs, and then Care Portal makes local churches aware, giving them a real-time opportunity to respond. The Rock Church is part of the Care Portal here in the Salt Lake Valley, along with at least five other churches. And God has really used this. I'm on an email list with 170 of you, and when a need comes through, whether it's a baby crib or a dresser or something, that need is met within hours. It's really pretty phenomenal. You guys are such a giving church, but God is really using that ministry. Royal Family Kids for 30 years, Heather just promoted this the last few weekends. For 30 years, Royal Family Kids has been taking kids to a faith-based summer camp, mainly foster children who have experienced trauma, which resulted in being removed from their biological families. Restoring hope and self-confidence is accomplished by loving them, providing positive role models, and the good news that Jesus loves them no matter what. Many of you have volunteered and been a part of that camp. I've been up at the camp and observed and been a part of it, and it's just it's a work of the Lord. Here's just a photo of Laurie and Becky just delivering some of the Care Portal items. And it's just, it's food, it's diapers, it's just essential stuff that people have need to be able to bring their kids back to them. And it is, it's an amazing ministry. So thank you for being a part of it. I ask you to continue being a part of it. And so the next category we'd step into is homeless and refugees. The Salt Lake Rescue Mission helps take care of Utah's homeless and poor population through emergency services and addiction recovery. They provide shelter, food, and clothing. These services are meant to restore dignity and foster trust so that they can introduce those who are homeless and poor to Jesus and guide them out of poverty. What a great ministry that is. We partner with them for years. The Road Home provides shelter to individuals and families experiencing homelessness. They ultimately help people step out of homelessness and back into the community, providing equal treatment, compassion, respect, and dignity. The Heartland Partnership Center offers many life survival services and resources for people in need. They offer numerous adult and youth programs for the West Side community. The program participants are predominantly families from refugee and immigrant backgrounds, but Kelby McIntyre has worked for them for quite some time, and she's connected our church to that group, and they're doing a lot of good things, and there's great opportunities to serve there. These are real-time things that you could do and be involved in today. Moving on, the next category would be family support. The Pregnancy Resource Center of Salt Lake is dedicated to helping women, men, and families with unplanned pregnancies, post-abortion recovery, parenting classes, material resources, referrals, and much more. They exist to listen and respond with love and care, providing hope for the future. The PRC saved about 500 babies last year, shared the good news of Jesus, and connected many women and men with local churches. We want to be a part of that. At our mission to the city, we did get to help just a little bit. Even during a pandemic year, we had a mission to the city. We went to the Pregnancy Resource Center, and Phil Hahn and Jody Villamore pretty much single-handedly painted a big part of their building there. It was this dreadful orange color on the ceiling and everything, and those guys went in there, I think it took them about 3 days just working their tails off. They gave me the eye afterwards because it became being such a big job, but it was a joy to help with that. I'm just so thankful we get opportunities like that. This is a good ministry that we need to be a part of and help them. Continue on. The Rock meals, that's just pretty self-explanatory. Most of the meals that get provided when you're sick or have a baby or for one reason or another, goodness, we've had a lot of people where we get meals delivered. Usually it's handled through small groups, but when the small groups aren't able to handle a need or someone's not in a small group, then we have the Rock meals. And I've been privy to the numbers of that. And it would blow you away how many different meals have been served and provided for people. It's a vital ministry in our church. And the Rock Prison Ministry, pre-COVID church services on Friday and Sunday afternoons at the Tibonoga's Women's Facility gave volunteers opportunities to help change people's lives. Of course, some adjustments had to happen because of COVID, yet the discipleship group has been faithfully meeting every Tuesday since last July. The ladies from the transition housing at Orange Street are also joining via Zoom. There's a solid group of volunteers who are very committed to prayer and worship. It takes a lot of spiritual warfare to win the battle of trauma backgrounds and drugs. But here's some good news. The prison says we should be able to come back to the prison this summer, so we can be back on site in 2021. So we're looking forward to that. Two summers ago, as part of our mission to the city, I don't know how they got permission to do this, but we took our big baptismal water cattle trough, and somehow they let us take it in through the gates. We went through all the security going, this is really crazy. We reeled the baptism tank in there, and Steele and I went there. We had a church service there, and we baptized about 30 or 40 people. I mean, God did that. God does things right in our midst, and sometimes we don't realize, oh, that's going on? I could be a part of that? Yes, you could. American Heritage Girls is a Christ-centered leadership and character development program for girls 5 to 18 years of age. Their mission is to build women of integrity through service to God, family, community, and country. Several churches are involved in this, and they often meet right here in our building on Wednesdays. I'm going to switch on to our international things that we're involved in. I know there's a lot of information here, and it's all good stuff, and you might feel like you're drinking water from a fire hydrant, but just drink up, more's coming. So. International Jehovah Jireh, this is a new ministry to help our sister church in Honduras. In addition to suffering greatly from the pandemic, their country had two Category 4 hurricanes in November 2020. We not only have the opportunity to supply the church with some disaster relief supplies, but also to begin long-term hydroponic microgardens in multiple cities to help provide self-sustaining food. And the church is using this tool as an outreach tool in the gospel and discipleship. Gospel is going out and discipleship is happening all over the place. Here's a photo, and that's one of the kits there that you guys, many of you have been donating to, that have been providing. And I don't know, when you're working with people, because the church is excited because they're inviting people to church and they're using this as a discipleship tool. There's just something about working together and being on task with people. It's just a great way to disciple and to grow in your faith. So we're very thankful for what's going on there. Of course, you've all heard of Compassion International. They look after the health, education, and welfare of impoverished children. In a world where more than a billion children live on less than $2 per day, child sponsorship, connecting one child with one sponsor, is the most strategic way to end child poverty. Through monthly financial support, prayer, and letter writing, sponsors invest directly in the lives of these children. And again, you guys have been very generous. We have lots of children that are being sponsored by you. Jeannie and I sponsored a child for over 10 years. She just aged out to 18. So I trust that God will take care of her. But that is a good ministry. COVID has kept us from promoting that as much as we'd like, but I talked to Tim Stevens, and we'll be promoting that again very soon here in the church. Lulu Trees. A Lulu Trees mission is to prevent tomorrow's orphans by equipping today's families. Lulu Tree does this by partnering with pastors and community leaders in villages across Uganda and Sierra Leone. They train them to equip the families in their churches. Their primary goal is to prevent the destructive cycles that keep these communities from thriving. And again, you guys are such a blessing. Here's a church building that we provided the finances to build. It's self-supporting now, and it's overflowing. I'd love to see people pouring out of our church out of the front door like that. But you're a part of something. I don't know if you realize that. There's a lot of really good things going on. The Voice of the Martyrs, this is an incredibly important ministry. It is a non-profit, interdenominational Christian organization dedicated to giving practical and spiritual help to the persecuted church around the world. The ministry is based on Hebrews 13:3. Most of you know this verse. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. Please support this ministry and our dear brothers and sisters that are being persecuted around the world. You can get on a list. And you can and you can get prayer requests. I get them sent to me all the time. You can pray for these dear brothers and sisters. Operation Christmas Child brings good news and great joy through the power of a simple gift. What goes into a shoebox is fun, but what comes out is eternal. As children receive gift-filled shoeboxes, they hear the gospel. Our church has been blessed to send thousands of these boxes, supporting this project with Samaritan's Purse. I'm almost through them all here. Here's some more. Drink deep. Operation Underground Railroad exists to rescue children from sex trafficking around the world. From 2014 to 2019, OUR rescued 3,800 victims and assisted in the arrest of more than 2,100 traffickers. The partners they were empowering have collectively helped rescue the lives of more than 10,000 survivors who were enslaved, exploited, or at risk. The Lord is doing all kinds of things in our midst. And again, these ministries, they're their own thing, but part of our church, our saints, someone is compassionate about these ministers, so they're connected, so that's our liaison. They're involved in these ministries, and they bring the needs to our attention so that we can respond as a church. And it's just turned out to be a beautiful thing, and that's our CARES ministry. I want to talk about some of our missionaries. Matt and Beth, these dear saints, will be going full-time with Mission Aviation Fellowship in August. These guys are the real deal. They don't even know where they're going to be going. But the Lord's put it on their hearts to go into full-time missions work. So in August, leading up to August, they'll be selling their home, quitting their jobs, and diving in headfirst to do anything for the Lord. This is our family. We need to support them in prayer and financially when we can. And of course, the Scots are with us. We're blessed to have you guys with us today. I'm so thankful that the Scots are with us. These people are, in my mind, heroes of the faith. They're going to go to the Caucasus, southern Russia, where there's Brian saying there's 8 million Muslims and just no gospel presence until they show up, until that guy shows up with his family. We need to be men and women. You know, they come from the church that sent this church 21 years ago. They're partnering with Frontiers Ministry, which is dedicated to reaching Muslims. And be sure, if you can, to join us at our core meeting Monday night, because they will share details of their story. I want us to be informed so we can thoughtfully pray for what they're up against. We might not be going, but they are. So they need our prayer support. And I just remind you, these families, this is our spiritual family. This is our house. These are our people. These are our ministries. So you and I need to be men and women that pay attention to what the Lord's doing and support these dear saints as they go to the front lines. I like the rest of this quote from Charles Spurgeon. It says, if there be any one point in which the Christian church ought to keep its fervor at white heat, it's concerning missions. I agree, Charles. Everything I've shared fits into our win, build, and send. That's why we're involved in these things. You know, God may ask you to be a part of something, and I hope he does. I hope you get to a place where you might be able to go on a life-changing, even a short-term mission trip. I mean, you could go for a day. You could go for a weekend. You could go for a week. You could go for 3 months. You could go for a year, or you could go for the rest of your life. It's just wrought with opportunities, and we have lots of opportunities. God's put us in a position where there's lots of opportunities that you can be a part of and that I get to be a part of. So we do some short-term missions on occasion. On a frequent basis, we try to. The Rock Church sends teams of people around the world to share the gospel and help other Christians ministries and help with humanitarian efforts. We've traveled to places like Honduras, Italy, Romania, Sweden, Germany, Poland, and Mexico. We've also sent teams to cities within the United States, as well as doing local missionary work right here in our backyard with Mission to the City. Additionally, the Rock Church partners with other M28 churches to support church planting throughout the United States and around the world. We want to help start more churches. That's what our church is all about. We want to be a part of that. So these are some short-term missions opportunities that you guys could prayerfully consider. Maybe you yourself could be a part of this. And again, in Honduras, we've had a relationship for over 10 years. We've been sending people there. The Great Commission Latin American churches, we have a relationship with them. So we can send our teams over there. We know that they'll have a place where they can go and serve those saints and help those people in Honduras. You could be a part of that. This year in August, the plan is for early August, the 5th through the 10th, to take a team to Honduras. In Italy, we've been going to Italy since 2003. We have just some dear saints that live in Milan, Italy, and Turin, Italy. And we've sent music teams for outreach, and we've done English clubs a bunch of different times. And there's just places there where we can go and serve. It's really in place. So I talked to both those pastors from Turin and in Milan, and they would love for us to come this year. So in October, we are prayerfully considering that. COVID has just shut it down right now, so we couldn't go tomorrow, but be praying that we can go in October, that we could send a team. We have teams praying to go Turin and Milan, and maybe you could go along. Consider being a part of it. It's life-changing. In Romania, we also have an established relationship with a ministry house there in Romania. And Jim's been going there for years, and they've done lots of construction projects. Jim McFaul has led a discipleship camp that people have been able to be involved in. So again, 2021 has made it's kind of locked down. We don't know if we'll be able to go this year. God could do that, but we are aiming maybe at 22. God will get us over there. We could continue the work that he started. And in Sweden, our partner ministries, Great Commission Europe, has been building a beachhead in Sweden for years now. I have 800,000 Muslims there and 100,000 immigrants and refugees moving in every year. I've been there before. You come out of the subway at different places. It's like, I'm in a whole different country here. But there's opportunities. They refer to it as a refugee highway. It's kind of the end of the refugee highway. People are just flooding from their countries into there. And then there's just this new culture arising there that's just ripe for the gospel. Maybe a Kairos moment, a moment to get the gospel in there to Sweden. Again, we were hoping to go back this year, but it looks like it's just shut down. So we're praying for 2022, summer of 2022, unless God opens it up for us. And in Germany, a dear family has been planting churches that we know for 30 years now. And we spent time with them quite a few times. Again, if you were interested in going to Germany, we could help you. Just need the leaders. We have a place we know you could go and serve there in Germany, as well as Poland and in the Philippines. We have a ministry partner. There was a dear brother that took his family. They were in Poland for 10 years, and he is still discipling people from Poland. So we know different people that we served with in Poland. So you could take a team to Poland. We can hook you up with that. We can help train and give you the tools you need to do that. In the Philippines, of course, Deacon Paul went and married a Philippine girl. And Great Commission has had teams in the Philippines for quite a while, people that we know that have been there. One of the leaders of the movement that we were part of, Herschel Martindale, helped start a work there. And now they've gotten to a place where they're sending missionaries to Cambodia out of Philippines. But there's opportunities. You know, at one point back in the day, we took, I think it was about 30 people, musicians, and we went across to Europe doing outreach and evangelism and talking to people about Jesus and sharing our testimonies with people. And there was a whole bunch of us, and we were in Poland, and the college students there, they really wanted us to do a flash mob. And I talked to our team about it and our prep before we went, and nobody really wanted to do that. And when we got there, they were pretty insistent. They said, we want you guys, and I don't know if they just wanted to laugh at us or what, but they tried to teach us this choreographed flash mob scene. We went to downtown Poznan, and there we are. And like my grandson, when they were telling us that, I was looking at the leaders and saying, you know, none of us really know how to dance, and we haven't even been in a drama class before. But I want to be a fool for Christ. I don't know about you guys, but I want to do whatever he calls me to. I mean, I was completely out of step in the whole thing, but I had a smile on my face the whole time. It was for the gospel. I had purpose. You can go on a vacation. Yeah, that sounds dreamy. But when you go somewhere with purpose, it changes you. And it makes sense to go. Our mission to the city, that's our backyard. Okay, for years now, we've rallied you guys. You've been very faithful. Even in the pandemic last year, we had 20 projects, over 300 servant spots that you guys filled during the pandemic. All kinds of different things we did. So this year, we've got our dates set, August 21 through 28th. I hope you'll be involved. We need projects. And we need projects and leaders to lead those projects. So last year we had 20 projects. This year we hope to have 30 projects and over 400 servant slots where you can serve the city and interact with people, meet people in our community and love on people and serve people. It's a fantastic opportunity. I'm getting to the end here. And of course, this is where the rubber meets the road. It all takes people and money. It takes finances. Some of you maybe won't be able to go, but you can help finance. So I want you all to hear me, pull out your phone, and take a picture of the screen. Right now, I want you to do that, even if you're pretending. And there's a subliminal message in there that I just want you to roll over and over and over in your mind. Just roll it over and over in your mind there. There's lots of opportunities. We're not having a gala this year. You know, we've had galas in years past where we had different things donated and we had silent auctions, and they're very fruitful to help support our missions. This is it. This is it this year. This is our fundraising opportunity. So I implore you to help support all these different things that are going on. It takes money and people, and not just one rich person. It takes all of us together to help support these things. And some of your financial help helps offset the costs, so more and more people can have some sort of at least a short-term mission experience. If we can offset the costs, it costs a lot of money to fly over the pond. If we can offset those costs, more of you can be involved. All the money that comes in from this weekend, that's what it's for, to offset the cost, so more and more of us can be involved in short-term missions and our CARES ministries, all the different things that I've been hosing you down with. You might have noticed in the lobby when you came in, we have sign-up sheets, and people for our short-term missions, the ones that I showed you, will be there, willing to answer questions. You can get your name on a list so you can be thoughtfully praying about what they're considering. It doesn't mean you have to go just because you put your name on the list, but you might get to go if you put your name on the list. So you don't want to miss out. We also have the Scots and the Wishes will be out there. They're on the angle wall over there. So go out after the service and meet and talk to these people and find out what they're thinking about, what God's leading them into. This is our house. These are the things we're involved in. So this is our charge. This is our call. Let's be a part of it. Let's support what God's doing. We don't want to miss out on a thing that he has for us. Our three questions. Do you believe Jesus is sending you? Are you willing to obey? Will you join what God is already doing? And our verse, remember, don't forget our verse, John 20:21. That's our verse this year. John 20:21. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father is sending me, I am sending you." As a disciple of Christ, that's all of us. That's all of us. I'm just going to end in a prayer. Thank you. Lord, I love you. I thank you that you are at work in our midst. Lord, I thank you that we get to be involved in what you're doing. Lord, I pray you just really help us. Help us not to miss a thing that you have for us, Lord. Help us to be men and women that follow you with all of our heart, mind, and soul, Lord. We need you in all of it. We need you to lead us. And just thank you for tonight, Lord. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.